as you prepare to hear what the Lord is saying this morning, I want you to declare what Miss Julie just declared as she closed in prayer. And just say this. And you don't have to say it after me. You don't even have to say it loud. But just you say it out of your mouth. Lord, open my heart today to hear your word. So let's say it together. Lord, open my heart today to hear your word. A couple of weeks ago when I talked, we began to talk about keys from receiving or to receiving from the Lord. And last time we talked, I talked about the fact that we don't want to just get focused in on seeking and going after my healing, but the predominant thing is to keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the one we seek. He is the healer, and the healing will flow from him. And we want to continue a little bit in that vein today as we talk about manifesting his thoughts and his ways in my life. Now, I also talked to you about last week, as we kind of got into this, that I believe one of the most important things that needs to happen to you and I after we're born again, and I'll say, and the whole time we're on this earth, is for us to renew our mind. And we're going to talk about renewing the mind today, maybe in a little different way than I've ever taught it before. Because I am convinced the renewal of our mind to his desire for us to be healed is a key factor in receiving, or if we don't renew, it's a key factor in limiting what we are able to receive from him. So I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians 5:23 with me, and we're going to start. Now, let me warn you, it's going to be a little different for me today because we're going to have kids' church. I borrowed some puppets from Miss Julie, and Austin's going to help me. And so we're going to be talking about spirit, soul, and body, and relationships, and then renewing that part of our being called the soul. 2 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and I'm reading from the New American Standard, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely." 1 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. Sanctify you entirely, completely. So the Lord desires that our whole being be sanctified completely. And then it says, may your whole, talking about again the entirety, spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this, we discover that the Lord has made us a three-part being, just as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are three parts. And we are a spirit. We possess a soul. And we live or dwell in this physical body. Now, the order of that is important. Because if you think, well, body, soul, and spirit, then more than likely, what is dominating you is your body. So it's important that we see the spirit is the core. It is the first part of it. And we see that in Genesis, the second chapter. So go to Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to read the 7th verse. You want to get ready? And Austin's going to help me with these puppets, and I'll talk to you about what they represent as we go. The verse starts off and it says, "But then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground." So he took matter that existed, and he made, and there are two words talking about made and created. One means to make from something. Create means to come together from nothing. And so he made what? Our flesh, our body. He made that. And, you know, I almost envision it as he just propped Adam up by the tree. I don't know how he did it. That's just the way as I meditate on this that I imagined it. But what was in Adam? A total body, everything he needed. He had a brain. He had blood ready to go. But there was no life in him whatsoever. And then the verse continues and says that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, And this man became a living being, or some translations say a living soul. So he put his spirit, he spirited man. The Jewish sages say that man became a speaking spirit. And so let's put him on there, on that side. So he came as a spirit. He put his spirit in us. Whose spirit did he put in Adam? His own. His own. Now, when the spirit came, what came with it? The soul. So he put his spirit and his soul. So this is that three-part being. Now, let's talk about this for just a minute. This is who we are. Now, you see on this one, it says victory. This spirit man in Adam was perfect, just like the Father's. His soul was a new soul, so it had not been, had all the ideas and concepts formed that we would have today. And then when he put these two in, this body came alive. I personally believe that Adam, these three parts, flowed seamlessly between him. And Adam, had he not sinned, I believe would have lived, period. So the Father made Adam. He was complete and perfect. And then what began to happen? In the third chapter of Genesis, Eve was deceived by the serpent, and when she was, then she gave and partook, she partook, and then she gave to Adam, who willfully partook. So what happened when that came? The communion that Adam had, the uninterrupted fellowship, the cool walks in the garden, in the cool of the day. I mean, I can envision Adam and Eve saying, "I hear the Lord coming," and running into him. Well, what happened? They were separated from God. So this changed. This perfect spirit that had put in became subservient to the devil. And we'll let this green guy just represent this carnal spirit for the time being. So from going to a perfect environment, his spirit became separated from the Father. Now, what we need to understand is that these guys were impacted as well. What happened to them? What is the first thing that the Word says? They heard the Lord coming and they were what? They were afraid. So when they were afraid, that tells me that because the spirit was gone, man, his soul, begin to experience something he had never experienced in that time, fear. And what did they do? They went and hid. Why did they say they hid? Because they saw themselves naked. They saw themselves just as evidence of that sin, naked before the Lord. Now, then we fast forward. And the Father sends his spirit and hovers over Mary, and Mary conceives. Mary conceives not from man, but from the Holy Spirit. Why? So that, can I have that? So that this spirit, this perfect spirit, would be what Jesus would walk this earth on. That's why he's called the second Adam. So the second Adam was given that same spirit that the first Adam was. So we know, we've just finished going through the Easter season, so we understand what happened on the cross. Following the cross, with our redemption being brought out of sin, out of the slave market of sin, then Romans 1:16 says that we shouldn't be ashamed. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. So what happened here when man was born again? Put this guy back up. When man was born again, we got the same spirit in us that Jesus had and that Adam had. Now, I got to tell you, I'm really glad BJ wasn't home a couple of days ago, because when I was putting this together and I was just looking, how am I going to use these puppets? I took this thing and was walking around with it here as I was coming studying those verses. And I can't tell you how just walking and holding that puppet and saying, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. The same Spirit. I went through our house just feeling that anointing. What was happening? I'm getting a revelation. And I'm not only because I just don't get the revelation and quit, because I keep acting on it, I'm actually renewing my mind. I'm actually renewing my mind. Now, what happened then when a perfect spirit comes in? What happened to the soul? The quick answer is nothing. If you thought a certain way before you were born again, more than likely you're going to think that way now. You got the green guy? Let's put him up here. So really, what happened is all the time that our carnal spirit, before we got born again, was in our being, this guy was influencing him, so our thoughts and our patterns stayed the same. Now, that shouldn't shock you. After you got born again, even years after you've been born again, have you ever found yourself thinking like you did before you got born again? And you don't have to nod and admit it, but I will for us. So we need to understand we have the same thought patterns, the same mindsets, the same attitudes when we're born again. And really what I want to represent with this guy here is wrong thinking, earthly and carnal thinking. This is the part that we've got to focus on, because as you'll see from this representation, this guy cannot reach out and touch this one directly. Everything we get from the Spirit comes through our soul where we're connected. And so this is going to be a gateway for us. Andrew Womack has a little picture of a valve that opens or closes, that either stops things from flowing or allows things to flow. Now, let me just start hitting one key point. 2 Corinthians 5:17. When we were born again, this was a suddenly. You were made a new creation. That's why we took away the green guy and put this guy back. You were made new. But because your mind didn't, then these two, just this one just moved over and kind of resides there. So old things have passed away and all things have become new. And that's all pertaining to your spirit man. Now, old things passed away, all become new. So, as we talked about then, I think old thoughts, and that doesn't surprise us. Isaiah 60, verse 1, says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." So where did the glory of the Lord arise upon? Our spirit man. But then if you read on down in that, which we're not going to do, it says that as our light shines, that people are going to come to the brightness of that shining. That says me, they see something in us. They see something in us. So let's begin to delve into that a little bit. And I wanted just to impress upon you this, arise, shine, and your light coming. Malachi 4:2. What is one of the things that came that we see in Malachi 4:2? It says, But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. So when he arose and began to shine, what came with him? Healing came. A light of healing. Now, Matthew 13:43, and you can just make the note of this one because we're not going to stay. It says, the righteous will shine forth as the sun. So here we are. We know we were, from 2 Corinthians 5:21, we were made righteous just as he's righteous. Not these guys, but this perfect man here. And so I want to just say, righteousness, our right standing, is one of the foundational things that we must renew our mind on. And it's right there with love, because it's from that love toward us that he made us righteous. Then we remember last week we read 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and do what? Live to righteousness. So if we're going to live to righteousness, then that's giving us a clue as to where we're living from. From our spirit man. If you don't believe that you've been made righteous, then how are you going to believe for the healing that says it comes as we live righteous? You've got to see yourself, begin to see yourself in that way. Luke 17 says basically concerning the kingdom that people are going to say, look, it's here, look, it's there. But you can't see the kingdom of God here on this earth. Because what does that scripture say? It's inside us. It's inside us. So I would ask the question then, back to arise and shine and the people coming to the brightness of that shining, what are people going to look at to come to the brightness of your shining? Well, it's certainly not going to be, they're not going to look at our spirit because they can't see it. They can't look at your soul. Those things are hidden from us. So we've got to be able to reveal or manifest in this body, here on this earth, those things of the Spirit. And I would say it this way. We've got to get to a point where we manifest here the fruit of that Spirit. Now, do we have scriptures that back that up? Yeah. Would you say that Jesus manifested fruit of the Spirit with the miracles that he did? And that it was seen and it was a drawing card? Certainly. So what does he tell us in John 14:12? The same miracles that I did, you're going to do, and even greater. So what should we expect to occur or to manifest through us for the benefit of others? Those miracles, so that they can be seen and people will come to it. But you know, there's a more important one. If you can show John 13, Robert, 34 and 35. I don't even know if I put it on the list. This is the number one thing. Jesus, talking to his own, said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I, or even as I, have loved you. That you also love one another. And then 35 tells us why. By this, all men will know. All right, let's stop there. Could we say, by this, all men will see? And what are they going to see? The love that we have displayed for one another. Not the bickering, not the backbiting, not the being offended because somebody looked at me crossways or because I walked by and didn't speak, somebody got offended. But by the way we love each other in the body of Christ, this says that this is going to be even a bigger drawing card than miracles. So we got two good scriptures that tell us this guy, our body, needs to manifest what is in our spirit. So the question then becomes is, why aren't we? And I would submit to you that if you're having problems in areas of this body, and I can talk about it from being all the things that somebody prayed earlier, peace, joy, even healing, even prosperity, showing love, all of those things, if you're having trouble manifesting that here, more than likely it's because you haven't renewed your mind in that area. Now, I want you to think about it. Most ministers, I won't say most, many ministers today, when they preach, they talk to this guy or to that guy. Do this, don't do this. Now, if you're sick, what have we taught here at Healing School? You're not to confess, I'm sick. You're to confess what? I am healed. By His stripes I am healed. If you're poor, what do we tell you to confess? I'm blessed and I've been made rich in Him. So when we talk only to this area here and tell them do's and don'ts versus speaking from the Spirit to the Spirit, all we're doing is bringing condemnation. What do we tell people to do when they sin? What do we tell them to confess? Too often, and don't hear me wrong, too often we tell them, well, just confess your sins. Well, I want to ask a question. If we've got healing, need healing in our body, we confess, I'm healed. If we've got poverty, we confess, I'm rich. If we've got worry and anxiety, we should be confessing, I have joy. Why aren't we confessing then when we miss it, I am righteous? Focus on what this person is, because this person is righteous, and we're going to see that reinforced here in just a moment. That's what you want to confess, is who you want to be. Now, do we want you to repent? Yeah, we want you to change your mind. I would even say when we get a new revelation, we need to repent, change our mind on the way we think concerning it. That's all that word means, is to change your mind or to turn around from going in a certain direction. Now, we said mind renewal is critical, but what do most of us do? I can't help it. I just had to say something. We make excuses as to why our flesh is doing things. But I want to say to you, your flesh cannot and will not do anything that your soulish realm doesn't instruct it to do. It cannot act on its own. How do we know that? Well, what happens when the spirit leaves? Soul goes with it. And there are different philosophies on that, but for today, let's just stick with that. What does this guy do? How about if I say nothing? He can't do anything. Now, let me give you another example. My hand. If Betty Jean were to say something to me that really aggravated me, my hand could start pointing a finger at her. My hand could even reach out and do harm. This same hand, when that happened, could also stop and say, Lord, I hold no ought against her. I forgive her. I bless you and thank you for forgiveness, that we can walk in it. This hand, concerning Healing School, can also go on her and say, in the name of Jesus, receive your healing. What's determining what my hand is doing? My soul is. So we need to see and understand that. Now, let's look at some scriptures then about it. And let me just say too, how many times have you said, well, I just had to say that? So this same principle applies to our mouth. Quite often when we get angry, we say things we regret, and we say, well, that was just my flesh. No, you're reflecting what you're thinking when you said that. Now, where are you going in all this, Minton? I want us to see ourselves and renew our mind to the revelation that we have been made righteous, perfect, holy, just like Adam had, just like Jesus walked on this earth with, just like He was resurrected with after taking our sin. We got that same spirit. I want us to see ourselves that way in healing also. And you're going to understand why as we get through this. So turn with me to Romans 8. And we'll read a few verses here that will begin to talk about how we're controlled. And I'm going to be reading some in a moment from the New Living Translation as well. So Romans 8, the fifth verse. For those who are according or after the flesh, who walk according to or after the flesh, my translation said, New American Standard says that we set our mind on things of the flesh. Now, I like that phrase, set our mind. What is it saying? It's saying if we're walking after the flesh, this unrenewed mind is walking just like he was before he saved. He hadn't changed his thinking on how to do and pursue things. Now, we'll say, well, my flesh just made me. No, I don't think that's the way it is. And I'll go ahead and tell you, we blame way too many things on the devil telling us when actually all we're doing is reacting from what this guy's been programmed to do. And then it continues in verse 5, it says, but those who are set or according to the Spirit, the mind, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6 says, for the mind set on the flesh is death. Now, is there any death in this guy? None. Absolutely. And that's why it can say then in the next part of it, but the mind set on the Spirit is what? Life and peace. And then verse 7 says, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so. And therefore, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, it tells us this, you are not in the flesh. But what? The Spirit. But why then are we not living that way? Again, I would submit that it's because we haven't renewed our mind in some areas. Let me read you the Amplified for verse 7. It says, because the mind of the flesh with its carnal thoughts and purposes. Unrenewed would be my word for it. Is hostile to God, for it does not submit itself to God's law, for it cannot. So I want to think about then, if our thoughts are messing us up, then let's look at the relationship between thoughts and actions, or thoughts and ways. So go to Isaiah 55 with me. Isaiah 55, and we're going to start in verse 6. We'll read 6 and 7, then we'll talk a minute. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. There's way, his way. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. So we've got our thoughts and our ways. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So what have we seen here? A person who is not born again, he has no chance because he's got a carnal spirit working against him and his flesh working and his mind is programmed. So his thoughts and the resulting ways that he walks are going to be of this earth. Now, even with a renewed mind, a born again spirit, this unrenewed mind is still doing what? Acting like it was before we got born again. And so the Lord continues in this scripture, and he begins to talk about, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Now, to the unborn again, that's absolutely true, but we need to see that that can also apply to me. Neither are your ways my ways, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Too many people stop there and say, well, I can never do that. But the scripture also says, for you have the mind of Christ. But that mind of Christ dwells where? in our spirit man. And so, again, we're talking about taking what is in this spirit man and renewing our thinking here so that it can impact what is the resulting effort of our flesh. And that takes us to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now, we talk about this scripture a lot. And I think the Holy Spirit has really emphasized it a lot because it is so very important. I urge you, brethren, urge. This is serious. Therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service or your reasonable service of worship. And then it tells us, do not be conformed to this world. Now, it then says, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. So, this happened suddenly. And you're going to see that in some of the next scriptures we use. This is a process. This is something we will be doing all of our time here on the earth. In fact, scripture tells us that we're going to be learning more and more and more about the goodness of God throughout eternity. So I see that as something that is ongoing. We've mistakenly, I believe, defined maturity in the church as to how we act. Can we speak in tongues? Do we prophesy? Do we operate in the gifts? But I want to submit to you the true maturity for the believer is manifesting in our body all those things that are in our spirit. And when we begin to do that, that's what I think true maturity is. And it's not something I can do. Don't raise your hands. I'll put mine up because I'm going to admit it. How many of us have tried so hard to just read the Word and read the Word and read the Word and for us to renew our mind? It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. This is not something I can do in and from my flesh. And if we think we can, we're badly mistaken. Now, let me just mention this on maturity because I just sense someone's thinking, well, I don't know about that. Think about the Corinthian church. They did more things in the Spirit than any church listed. And yet in chapter 3 of the first book, 1 Corinthians, the Lord tells them that they're like children. And the word for children is children that are so little that they can't even talk. So what is he telling them? They're immature. Why are they immature? Because the fruit that is coming from their flesh does not line up with what's in the spirit. So again, I'm just trying to renew our mind to a focus that I think we need to have. Now, John 6:63, a very, very powerful verse. Jesus is talking, and I would submit to you, if you go back and look at red letters, Jesus never talked just to this person or to that person, to the body or the soul. Why do I say that? Look at what this verse says. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. But the words I have spoken to you, they are what? Spirit and life. Where can words that are spoken in the Spirit be received in our being? In our spirit. So it's there that Jesus is addressing. And I think that's our job as teachers. And I think we do a good job here at High Point Church of not telling you do this and don't do this, in other words, speaking to the soul or the flesh, because all we do then is build condemnation. But we speak to the Spirit, we teach His Word, and those words are Spirit and they are life. And we're going to see how that is going to be involved in renewing our mind. Go to Ephesians 4. Now, in the next few minutes with Ephesians 4, I'm going to read some from my New American Standard. And I'm also going to read from the New Living Translation. And the print's real little in it, so you'll have to be patient with me trying to look at that. I want to start in Ephesians 4 at verse 14. And let's first read 14 through 16. As a result, and it's talking just previously about the fivefold ministry gifts and that they're to build up and equip the saints to go out and do the work until we all attain to the maturity of Jesus. And 14 says, as a result, we're no longer to be children, what we just talked about, tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. In other words, people tell you something, it sounds right, so we assume it must be good, but it's directly opposite from the word of the Lord and what we've been taught. And unless we have that foundation renewed in our mind of what the word says, what are we going to do? It's going to sound good, and we're apt to say, I'll try it. And then verse 15 goes on, and it says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects of him who is the head, even Christ. Now, he's talking about the body of Christ here also, but we can apply this to us individually. And I want to say this to you. You need each of us in here to grow up, because that strengthens the entire body of which we are a part of it. And the scripture tells us that iron sharpens iron. So I want my ceiling to become your floor where you grow from, because then you can help me grow even higher. That's part of the understanding we need of the importance of the body. And then 16 says, and explains that, for whom the whole body being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. Look at this last phrase. It causes the growth for the building up of itself in love. So we have this opportunity to grow up together in this. Now, what is the most important area in this? I think it's to have a teachable spirit. That's why I pray a lot of times before we start teaching. Lord, open our heart to hear, to see. We don't want to just hear with these flaps or see with these eyes. I'm not saying we don't want knowledge. We do want knowledge, but we want that knowledge to turn into revelation that I can act on, and then I get my mind renewed so that I will act on it. Let's look now at 21, verses 21, and I'm going to read 21 and 22 in the New Living Translation to you. Let me get to it. 21 says, since you have heard all about him and have learned the truth that is in Jesus, throw off your old evil nature. Put off, King James says. Throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of deception. So what do we see here? That we are be able to take off that which we've learned, to get rid of it. Now the question still is how we're going to do it. Verse 23 in King James says that we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Now the word spirit here has a little s, and we've talked before here, myself as well as Pastor Robert and Trey, we've taught that that means a mental disposition or an attitude. It's like school spirit. And I shared with you a story of a basketball team I played on that won the state. We knew we were going to win when we went out. That was the attitude that we had. That was that spirit of faith or confidence. And he's saying here, as you're going to see, this is what we need to change in our mind as well. Now, verse 23 in the New Living says it this way, instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and your attitudes. So here we are back again. We can't just change our ways. We've got to change the thoughts and attitudes that are producing those ways. And then finally we get to verse 24, which tells us in King James to put on the new man. 24 here says, you must display a new nature because you are a new person. Now listen to this carefully. Created in God's likeness. Righteous, holy, and true. Is that how you see yourself? I've got to be honest, and I'm saying for me, it is a continual work to see myself more and more this way. It is a continual process, and that's what the Amplified Bible actually tells us, that it's to we're to be constantly or continually renewing our mind. Now let me give you one more witness of this in Titus 3. Verses 3 through 5. I read, really, we'll probably read 6 too. For we also were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures. Now, if I'm honest, I've got to say I was certainly that way before I was born again. But there's some of those things that I will confess to you I fought after I was born again. And candidly, I don't think I'm alone. I think we can all, because those are areas that we haven't got our mind renewed to yet. So there's a whole list of those things. But verse 4 picks up and it says, but when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not on the basis of deeds which we had done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. And this is the key phrase, I think, for us here. And let me just read it off the screen so I'm reading it the same way. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you diagram that sentence, here's the way I think you could diagram it. Through the washing of regeneration and through the washing of renewing, of the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That says to me that both are involved. Regeneration literally means to be what? Reborn. That's what the word actually means. That is a suddenly. That happened suddenly. That will happen to this guy suddenly. When Jesus comes back and when the dead are raised and then we who are alive are raised with Him and we see Him, we will be as He is. That's going to happen to us as a suddenly. But this word renewing literally means to take out the old. So let me do that. Take out the old that's in there. And to do what? To put on the new. The renewed new mind. To put that on. Be renewed. Now that word renewed there is never, it's never used in conjunction with anything to do with our spirit or our body. Just this guy. The only other time that word is used is in Romans 12, 2 that we just used when it talks about the renewing of our mind. And then involving in that then is this word in Romans 12, 2, be transformed. So part of the renewing process is a transformation that takes place inside us. And that word is metamorphuo, from which we get the word metamorphosis, which is undergoing a change. Now, what are we getting to the point of being able to do? We are changing our thoughts. In Isaiah 55, right after it talks about my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways your ways, he begins to talk. And he talks about as the rain comes down from heaven, in other words, his word going forth, that things change. they don't come back to him without performing what they're supposed to. So I would submit to you that as your mind gets renewed, then you can begin to speak as the Lord speaks. In other words, what are we doing? You've got new seed to speak and new seed, new water to water the ground that has already been sown with seed with. That's what happens when we change our thinking to be like His. How do we know we're getting there? Your reaction. I had a lady tell me this past week that she said, some of the things I'm hearing, she comes to healing school, she also comes to a Bible study we're doing, she said, it's changing me. I found myself last week having somebody who I didn't know come up to me and start telling me about all their problems, and before I knew it, my hand was on them and I was praying. That's when we begin to know. We're not acting out of just fear. We're acting out of what has really taken place in our heart. Now, this transformation, this renewing, it involves taking out the old and putting in the new. Middle Eastern folks would tell you, you can meditate. And you do what? Clear your mind. That's not how the word works. You're using the law of displacement to get yourself so filled up with the word that those old thoughts depart. That your old thoughts just depart. Now, I want to ask you a question, and we're going to close with this. I've used with you before the example of a caterpillar going into a cocoon and being metamorphosed, metamorphosis taking place, being transformed, and they come out of what? A beautiful butterfly. So could we make the analogy that he's going in and is just getting, for what we're talking about in a spiritual sense, inundated with the word. And then the Holy Spirit, as we saw in Titus, is taking that word and is working in the regeneration of our spirit, but is also working in washing and cleaning up our mind so that His thoughts become our thoughts. So I want to ask you a question. For that butterfly, where were those beautiful colors in his wings that take him around? They were inside the caterpillar. Now, one other point about that butterfly. As a caterpillar, he could do what? Just crawl along the ground. Now, when he comes out as a butterfly, he's able to operate in a different kingdom, in a different environment. What does that have to do with me? If you're believing for healing today for your body, where is your healing? It's inside you right now. And as we've talked this morning and seen that as we begin to renew our mind to this fact, then we can produce much more easily what is in here, because our mind and our spirit are thinking the same way, and this flesh must respond to it. It cannot respond to anything else. Folks, that's good news to us. Renewing the mind and producing what is there in our spirit is not a hard thing, because you don't have to do it all. You've got the Holy Spirit inside you working to produce those things that are in here that Jesus purchased. Are you holy?
Yes.
Are you complete?
Yes.
Is the truth in you?
Yes.
Is peace in you?
Yes.
Is healing in you?
Yes.
Is prosperity in you?
Yes.
Is joy in you?
Yes.
Is love in you? Then we need to quit trying to go get our healing renew our mind, feed on those things that we're believing for, so that our mind gets in sync and it's a clear path from there to there to manifesting for all the world to see. My whole point here is, it is not hard unless you're trying to do it yourself. And you're not going to renew your mind by yourself. And most of the time, you're not going to produce healing by yourself. So how do we think? How do we look to say, Lord, how do we know? If I asked you today, are you saved? Some of you would fight me to say I'm saved. But if you're believing for a healing and I asked you, you would say, I think so. I want to be. We've got to have that same assurance of the fruit that Jesus purchased for us that's in our spirit. We've got to have that same assurance in our being that I can walk in it just like I walk in my salvation regarding heaven. It's not hard. What will the devil do? He'll play games with your mind. He'll also bring up old things that have happened to you so that you think I'm not righteous enough, I'm not good enough. We sing about the blood. It doesn't matter what is in our past. Your past is in your past. And the blood of Jesus has eradicated it. He sees you solely through Jesus in that spirit. And as we renew our mind to that, I'm telling you, the popcorn is going to start popping here concerning healing. It is just going to be an explosion as we go. I hope this ministered to you. It really has encouraged me. It's changed the way in these past several months that I have been praying as I pray for you. And I want it to continue because the Amplified tells us, Bible says, continual renewal. This is not a one and done. This is something we're going to continue to do so that we walk in ever increasing levels of the increase of His kingdom. There what? Is no end. So today, I don't want you to ask me to help me renew my mind, to pray for you to renew your mind. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. Talk to Him. He's there. He's ready to do it. And every answer in Him is the same as it is in Jesus. It's yes and amen. But if you are here today and you want people to lay hands on you and pray, then we'll be happy to do it. Pastor Trey and Pastor Robert will be around, as will I. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you've promised us that if we open our hearts, in fact, you said, my sheep hear my voice. So I know today that the words you've spoken through me have not only been heard in our mind, but that it's made an impact on the inside of us. And so we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your continued work in renewing our mind. Give us wisdom as to how to study, as to what to quit watching that reinforces and what to quit doing that reinforces the things that we've not renewed our mind to. Give us wisdom in these matters so that we can walk in the fullness of all that Jesus purchased, so that He is glorified in our midst, individually and corporately. And it's in His name we pray, and everybody said,
amen.
So be it.